left to the bad man. With a gun and a knife and a waistband. With the war with the devil and Shaytan. He wore a bad toupee and a spray tan. So high now, hoping that I land. On a tie stick, moving through Thailand. On the radio, heard a plane hijack. Government being that like the cook crack. I move in a world of conspiracies. Obey no rules, I'm doing me. Smoke kush transport to the airport. Customs found a joint in my passport. Full cash and I gave him what he asked for. God damn it, it's a motherfucking miracle. Small bride made it back into America. Hit Uber and maneuvered out the area. Rhyme animal, pitbull terror. Rap terrorist, terrorize terror.
Yeah.
Brought gas in the matches to flare
yeah.
up. Tim Michael, psycho. On any ally or rival.
Yeah.
Born black that's dead on arrival. My job is to fight for survival.
I gotta let that ride for 1 second.
Yeah.
That's Killer Mike with Run the Jewels. What's going on, family? Welcome to a brand new episode of Ism Radio. This is your gracious host, Mr. Tariq Nasheed, chilling here with my lovely female co-host. We got Miss Sarah. What's up, Sarah?
Hey.
And we got Miss Chris. What's going on?
Hello, everyone.
All right, Miss Chris looking like she just baked some Rice Krispie treats and shit.
Why do you say that?
I look good.
She looks very wholesome today.
I'm wearing this white dress. I look good.
She looks very wholesome today. So ain't nothing wrong with being wholesome today. So look, we got a very special guest in the house tonight, man. We got actor, a comedic actor, rapper, extraordinaire. We got the player, Mr. Romney Malco. What's going on, brother?
I'm good. What's up with y'all?
How you doing, fam?
I'm fine, man. I'm laughing a little bit. Everybody's so uptight about the elections, you know. So, but I'm good. I'm good. Been really busy, proud, promoting this movie. It's whenever you're doing a movie that the media is proud of and the media is excited about, it makes you feel like you're part of a hit, you know? So I've been good.
When is the movie coming out?
The movie drops on Friday, 3 days after election.
Yes.
And, you know, I advise people to go out and get some tickets right now because there will be a line and it will make you laugh and cry a lot.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. Now, you said earlier, off camera, you were talking about you were on TMZ and you were saying some things and people, they think that you're a Trump supporter. What did you say?
Oh, man, I was just cracking jokes, but I was just making the point. I was like, you know, they were asking me, like, why do you think black people would vote for Trump? And I was like, well, I think that, you know, if you know anything about the Clinton history, they've done a lot to, like, really break down the black community and incarcerate a huge amount of black men in the process. And I guess some people prefer to have, you know, a person that's a racist to your face rather than a covert racist. I don't know. But when I said that, my Twitter blew up, yo. People
they thought like, that was a Trump endorsement.
Yeah, exactly. But and I also did make the point that, you know, I personally believe that Trump is a decoy in order to manufacture public consent for Hillary's vote.
Oh, really?
Or for Hillary's fixed election. So
I know a lot of people, they've had that theory. Like, yeah. Trump is just so over the top, that's going to make people go for Hillary by default.
Absolutely, which is sad because, you know, there are other people on the ballot, you know, who don't have the history that these people have. A lot of times people are saying this is supporting Trump because they just want someone who's supposedly outside of the system. But, you know, there are other options on the ballot that are somewhat outside of the system. And then the other thing that I want to say while we're on the subject is that, you know, after so many administrations coming in and basically selling out the people, like making concessions for big business and compromising, you know, the lives of American citizens in regards to the air, the quality of food, the education, the job market, you know, the economy and the way in which we produce or stop producing. I mean, they've compromised so much. The goal would be to get someone who was anti, you know, establishment
right.
in the office.
Right.
But, you know, like Joseph de Maistre said, you know, a nation gets the government it deserves. And we are at a point where it doesn't matter who we elect. Everyone is pro-establishment. You know, this recent situation with this recent situation with Hillary's emails, the ones that were leaked by WikiLeaks,
right.
where she's actually telling you, you know, no, you see her saying to her constituents, no, don't worry. My public stance is just to get people on board, but don't let that affect what we're doing.
Mm.
Where she was admittedly saying, you know, I have to have there's a stance that I have in the public, and then there's a stance for doing real
Absolutely.
Business. And I was like, people were like going berserk about that. But for the most part, that is almost every politician in the game. That's what politics, that's what it is.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
So I just feel like people are worked up. over the propaganda, and they're not worked up over the information. And it's just it's crazy. It's a sag. That's why I have on my list right now. It's the most busy my website has ever been. I went down and broke because I'm a big fan of, and I promote you voting locally.
Yes.
So I went down and broke down the propositions and the measures on my website one at a time, made them in the little short 2-3 minute videos just to help you. If you're a California resident and you're confused about what's on the ballot, you know, it's interesting. I learned a lot doing this research because a lot of times how the measure is promoted is not actually what the measure does. So if you get an opportunity, go to RomneyMalco.com, click blog, and you'll see it'll say how I'm voting. Take a look at that, and maybe it'll help you before you make your way to the polls.
Interesting, man, because a lot of people do think that, okay, if we vote against Hillary, we're going to go for Trump, and that's anti-establishment. But Trump is the establishment.
He is the Trump is, if we could keep it real, Trump is the trailer park version of the establishment. So he's like the trailer park dude that's always really wanted into the establishment.
Yeah.
And he just has never, he hasn't been in. Because even here's the deal. Here's what's so ignorant about Trump as a candidate, okay? Is that in order to, when you get in office,
yeah,
there's huge businesses bought off so much of Congress that in order to get anything done, you need constituents.
Right, of course.
Why would you empower someone in your party that has absolutely no constituents?
So
what's he gonna do when he gets there?
Exactly.
What can he do? I mean, he's so no one will even attempt to kill him. You know what I'm saying? Because this point, he's harmless. And so I think that one of the things that I will say, though, is that I don't know if you remember this, but maybe a decade ago, Newsweek printed an article titled "The Beached White Male." And it was kind of showing the decline of the white male.
Really? What were they saying? Yeah. What was the
okay, I don't remember the article verbatim because it was a long time ago, but I think it was an article. I should go back and read it, but I think it was an article just kind of explaining economics have changed dramatically for the beach white male, the way in which the white male has been perceived. So there is like this blanket statement, to be quite frank, of white hate coming from minorities, right? And I feel as though Trump is the voice of white males. It's like if Rush Limbaugh were running for president.
Absolutely.
You know what I'm saying? So I think he's the voice of white males who have now, you know, come under the gun of they fall under the gun of like a lot of hate. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
There was a time when if we as black people said something that made white people uncomfortable, they really had the power and the ability to silence us out. But unfortunately, the voice of minorities has gotten a lot louder.
Absolutely.
And the spending dollars have become a lot more valuable. And there's a lot of white people sounding off on our behalf as well.
Absolutely.
You know? And so what we have to be careful to do is we don't fall for the okie doke and blame every single white person for racism. Don't blame every single white person for Trump or Hillary. You know, there are people out there who get it of all nationalities. And our goal is to create an alliance with them. That's going to make our forces and our voice a lot bigger. And that's what I'm promoting.
How important do you think black empowerment is? We as a community, as a collective, black people, how important do you think it is of us empowering ourselves?
Well, see, that's a tricky question. And the reason is because black empowerment, that's a no-brainer. Of course we need black empowerment. But the reality of it is that blacks, we don't really have many resources.
Right.
So as a result of that, we have to be extremely selective of where we are getting, borrowing, learning, building those, you know, how we are building those resources.
Right.
Because what will happen is that for the most part, we could recreate the same situation where we're once again reliant upon the exact same system that we integrated with that cost us, you know, everything that we had accomplished up until about 68, 70.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
So our goal is to, we have to work with other people in order to get the resources, you know what I mean? And in order to get our voice heard, we unfortunately have to, let's just keep it 100.
Right. Right.
If there weren't, I mean, oh God, this is going to sound so terrible, but you know, if there weren't these alliances, they keep pushing us under the rug. They keep...
Which alliances?
Okay. Alliances such as... I'm trying to give you some examples. Okay. Fuck it. I'm going to get myself in trouble now. But here, I'm just keeping 100.
Yeah.
So check it out. If you know anything about the civil rights movement, if you know anything about, even in the Civil War, there were white anti-segregation.
Right.
You know, and if you know anything about even now, there, you know, I personally know one, I know Jewish men who fought and did law on behalf of blacks during the civil rights movement. right? And unfortunately, we sometimes need to make those alliances.
We need to be careful with some of those alliances because of
that? Well, that's how I started this. Remember, what did I say before that? We have to be careful about how we, remember what I said before that? It's on tape. We can rewind it.
Yes, indeed.
But go ahead.
But, you know, there's a hashtag on Twitter talking about Susan B. Anthony.
Uh-huh.
Because a lot of people are going to her grave,
uh-huh,
putting stickers on her grave, like, uh-huh, I voted because of Hillary. So they're praising Susan B. Anthony.
Uh-huh.
And people like me, we pointed out Susan B. Anthony's racial views.
Uh-huh.
She's a big-time white supremacist.
Right.
They like to sweep that under the rug.
Right.
So a lot of people are hitting me up like, well, she was she was an abolitionist.
Uh-huh.
And see, we get tripped up by somebody being an abolitionist because we don't understand just because they were abolitionists, let's not forget that they were still white supremacists.
I just got to get in and say some shit. God, this is going to get me in trouble. I'm going to keep it 100.
Go ahead.
It's America.
Hmm.
And the Racket of Racism video is at about 4 million views. I didn't end that video by saying, and this is how toxic this is to our society. I didn't end that video by saying, and this could be conquered by love. I said, no. I said, the more that history repeats itself, the more it takes money out of your pocket.
Right.
And even though that wasn't the most profound statement, it's United States of America. People relate to money. They relate to a bottom line.
Okay.
And so the truth of the matter is, people ain't gonna be helping black people because they love black people.
Right.
They're gonna be helping black people because they see financial interest.
Absolutely.
In it.
So something is in it for them.
Exactly.
Just like with those abolitionists. People forget those abolitionists were getting donations. They would say, hey, look at these poor Negroes.
Exactly.
Send me some money.
And then they would get
the same thing they do with Haiti. Like, look at these poor Haitians. Send me $1 billion. Okay. I'm gonna build 6 houses.
Exactly.
It's that same thing.
It's the same thing. And so what I'm saying is this is why I'm here promoting the importance of a local vote.
Yes.
It's because in your local vote, you get to determine where a lot of that money goes.
Mm.
You get what I'm saying?
Okay.
We have a bill right here. We have a bill right here in California that would give the state the vote on, that would give the state the opportunity to vote on any spending exceeding $2 billion.
Mm.
And like, part of me is like, this bill, can I curse?
Yeah.
But I'm like, part of me is like, this bill is bullshit because it's like, if there's a local issue, I don't want the state saying why we can or cannot handle it there. But there's another part of me that's like, if they about to choose to build another prison over another school, I want to have a say so in it.
Absolutely.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, absolutely.
And so anyway, that's why I'm here promoting the local vote. It's because what we're doing is we're falling for the okie doke and we're looking at the fixed election when we could be focusing on what we have the power to do. And so when I say those alliances, sometimes you're going to endorse, you know, a local, official or a delegate who's not necessarily, you know, the ideal or quintessential black representative.
Right.
Right. But at least they're pushing the measures through that are empowering us.
Okay.
Pushing the measures through that are bringing money into the community so that we can build those schools, so that we can actually start finding ways for black people in low income housing to get at least a fair education. You know, I went to school in Trinidad and Tobago as a kid. I went to school in New York as a kid. I went to school in Texas as a kid. And one thing I have to keep say 100 is that, you know, even though we were poor in Trinidad, I got a really good education. My education was so good in Trinidad and Tobago.
I heard, over there, I
spent 2 years not going to school. Two years and still graduated on time in the United States.
Oh wow.
And so I'm basically making that point to say, here in the United States, if you're poor, you're not entitled to a good to a quality school or good education. And it's been systematically set up that way since redlining 1937, you know, since in Chicago, where communities were specifically built for black people to keep black people boxed in.
Right.
And then the suburbs were built for the white people. And then around those suburbs were where all the factories and whatnot were built. So the commute was even difficult for black people to get a job. Right. So I'm just making a point here that, you know, it's been set up from the beginning to deny your children a quality education.
Absolutely.
It's just straight up redlining. It's what it's called. When you look up redlining, look it up. You get all, there's great books on it. I'm reading a book on it right now. I'm saying all this to just make the point that, it's your local vote that gives you the ability to determine that. So you see these, and you have to be careful. There are these bills. there are these bills out there that are saying, you know, we want to do, if every time we build a building of more than 10 units, we're going to create, you know, we're going to make a certain percentage of those units for low income families and all this other stuff. And then you start reading the bill more and more, you start reading into it more and more, you start finding out that they get to determine what makes you eligible as a low income family. It doesn't specify your percentage. It says it has, in quote, in good faith. It's like, you know, so you
exactly.
If you don't pay attention to that stuff, we end up falling for the okie doke. And anyway, so
why I'm big on, you know, specifics. Whenever they talk about doing something for black folks, yeah. I always tell them stop using these vague terms
exactly.
like minority, low income, yeah. impoverished, yeah. urban,
underserved,
all of these things, yeah. because we fall for that and anybody can be labeled as that.
Thank you. That's a yeah. good point.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what I was saying. If you go to my website, you will see, and I'm not trying to here to promote myself.
No, promote your site, brother.
I saw it on your blog.
Thank you. Yeah, if you go to it, I'm breaking it down video by video, and that's exactly what I'm saying. What we need accountability.
Absolutely.
We need specifics and accountability, and these bills don't provide that quite often, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yo, I'm 100% with you.
Yes, now, let's go back into your background. Now, you said you were from Trinidad and Tobago. Were you born there in Trinidad and Tobago?
I'm the first American born in my family.
Oh, wow. Wow, yeah. So you were born over here.
I was born in Brooklyn.
Okay.
Well, pretty much every person in the Caribbean was born in Brooklyn, right?
Now, for some reason, I thought you were from the West Coast, because I remember when you were in the rap game, the name of the group was the College Boys, right?
Ooh-wee. Yeah, I'm old. That's what it is. So I've had many lives. I have lived in Europe. I have lived in, you know, I've lived in the Caribbean. I've lived on the East Coast and the West Coast, both coasts. Yeah. So I've definitely been around.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's because I've had the luxury of I spent time in the military.
I was just about to say, well, you did a lot of traveling. So you were in the military.
Well, I was in the military, but, you know, I didn't really do my traveling in the military. I was in the Marine Corps, right? Mm-hmm. But I was a Marine Corps Reserve. So
oh,
I did my boot camp, and I went to School of Infantry in Camp Pendleton, came back to Texas. Ended up back in California pursuing a record deal, signed my record deal. I traveled a little bit with the record deal. And then after that, started an internet business around 97. Mm. That changed my life. After my internet business kicked off, I was like, I'll never do entertainment again.
Really? What was the business, by the way?
Okay,
all right, I got it.
No, it was revolved around male health. It was a website that I had put together.
Oh,
so that,
male,
you know,
health.
Yeah, like if a man wanted to build his testosterone up, I had that. If a man wanted to perform better in bed, I had something for that. If a man wanted to, if he had an issue with infertility, I had something for that. And it was all
so
natural.
Basically a porn site.
You know that we're all over 21.
Yeah, that sounds like a porn site, brother.
Nah, I wouldn't porn.
You
it's
sure?
Okay.
Oh, okay. I'm just saying, it sounds like a, you know.
Hey.
That sound like what it was. That's a, there's nothing wrong
right
with
here, baby. They was calling for me on this song. Right? Seriously, my ex made that song, you know, right before she met me. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
What up, baby? Hey, I want to say thank you, man. I still think it's a hit, even though nobody else heard it, baby. It was a hit.
So now, when did you get into acting, though?
I'm not into acting.
Mm.
When I'm not, I don't act.
What?
Well, what do you do on the film?
Right.
No, I got into acting because back in the day when I did music,
yeah.
I had written some. Paula Abdul had an animated cat.
Oh, I read that.
Scat Cat, right?
So yeah. Scat Cat. So Scat Cat had this hit with her and the animated cat, and they were like, "We got to make an album for this cat." You know, and all that stuff. So I ended up writing an entire album for the cat. They had videos.
So were you did the writing, and were you the voice of the cat?
Hell no, I wasn't the voice. I just a guy named Derek Delight, a radio host out of Milwaukee, was the Minneapolis.
Okay.
Derek Delight. How did I get them two confused?
Damn.
Derek Delight. Yo.
I have no idea who that is.
Yeah, man, I know.
Okay, well,
he's
Derek Stevens. He's a guy out in Minneapolis. He's a radio host, big time radio host. You know, so. He was the voice.
Okay. But you wrote it.
But you wrote
it.
I wrote everything.
I read that too, yeah.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was kind of cool.
Thank you.
How was that?
It was very fun. Paula Abdul really is a sweetie.
Like, she seems like
she's a sweetie, like rom com.
She said like she's
sweet. Yeah. On the vodka and pills, kind
of. You know what? Well, back then, it didn't seem that way. She was like, Romney.
Wait, it didn't seem that way, or was it that way?
No, it really didn't seem that way. I mean, like, no, like, I would hang out with her and her mom and her dad.
But Romney, did you smash Paula, Ron?
I
just wink if you did, brother. Just give me some player codes. I mean, I know you got to just cough three times or something. Just. Cause that's that crazy coochie, you know.
Man.
Paula Abdul got that crazy. She was fucking with that
you
dude from the
crazy?
With American Idol. That dude
yeah,
with the funny looking
the
dude.
Curly
yeah,
hair.
The curly
yeah.
hair
oh,
dude.
Yeah.
Dude. He dry snitched on her.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, you're like, yeah, I banged her.
But then didn't she have like a mental breakdown? Like she you know, committed suicide or something, you know, got drunk.
And look, I ain't trying to defend her.
Yeah.
Listen, man, let me make this really clear real quick. Two things really quick just to get back on topic
real
quick.
Yeah.
The first thing I'm going to say is, as far as black empowerment goes, because I never really answered your question.
Yes.
I'm going to just keep it 100, nigga. We need education. Mm. And fuck the education that they're giving you. What we actually need is, we need the education, a breakdown of statistical break, a statistic, like statistics.
Yeah.
Facts. Studied history of what it takes to survive in this environment.
Mm.
We're not getting that education. So the first thing we need to do is, if you want some black empowerment for real, is we got to make sure that our kids start becoming experts at life in America. Not experts at memorizing Christopher Columbus's conquests.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So let's be specific. We need to understand the impact of your spending and purchasing power.
That's right? Very important.
Okay.
The economic part of it. Exactly. Very important.
So a nigga will go to a store and buy $300 belt.
Yeah.
Right. But that's the exact same motherfucker that's complaining about the quality of his child's school.
Exactly.
Ho, stop. Okay? Mm-hmm. A nigga will talk about and complain about the teachers not giving a fuck. Okay? You could have bought 12 online courses with the money that you blew popping bottles.
Exactly.
You get what I'm saying?
Exactly.
So the first thing we need to do is we need to get outside of the need to look good, which is understandable. When you've constantly being painted by society as a, you're constantly being painted by society as a threat, as a super predator, as less than, as incompetent, as lazy, you do things that has an effect on your self-esteem.
Sure.
And so you do things to better your self-esteem.
Absolutely.
In the world of instant gratification, you buy shit, you get contacts, you get fake hair, mm-hmm. you get a penis enlargement. That's what I did. I got my dick. I got a bigger dick on him.
Oh,
right?
Some dicky,
dicky. Boom. There you go. That's, yo, my girl made that song. Like I told you, I met her after she made the song. Once a woman lets you know what she's looking for, then you can fill that role. That's what real players do.
Exactly.
So anyway, just keeping it 100, the education is key. Hate me, you can cuss me out. My shit is Team Romney or Uncle Romney on Twitter or whatever you want to do. Romney, come cuss me out. I'll have that dialogue with you. But ultimately, this shit really starts with education. And the reason I'm bringing this up is because what happens is, while your child is in the womb, you're sitting in front of a television that is convincing you that there is a deficit within you.
Mm.
And the reason it's telling you that there's a deficit within you is because that is the way it sells to you. It creates the deficit in your mind, and then it fills the void of that deficit with a product.
Right.
Right?
It provides a solution.
But your child is absorbing those exact same vibrations. The exact same chemicals that are being produced in your body while you are absorbing that information is now feeding through your placenta. It's feeding your child.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens is you create chemical reactions in your baby when you sit in front of this toxic shit that is not designed for your betterment. So what the fuck is wrong? I'm talking about this nigga's crazy. Y'all thought I was gonna sit here and talk about Paul Abdul on my shit? Hold on. So check this. There's a thing called cultivation theory.
Yes.
Now, if you look into there's hypodermic needle theory, there's all different kinds of theory. If you peep these theories, what they're basically saying is we sit in front of a television and we download information. For some people, television, media, social media, is their higher education.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that's sad.
I was gonna say, that is very unfortunate.
Exactly. So now, peep game. So, as a society, as a species, human beings, white, black, Native American, it don't matter. We all need stories.
Yes.
That's how we carry on tradition.
Absolutely.
That's how we push our civilization forward. That's how we take pride in who and what we are. It's like, yo, I'm a Malco. Malcos don't rent, we buy.
Mm.
We've always owned land. My father, my grandfather, my great, 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 grand, that's what we do.
Exactly.
We are entrepreneurs. I come from a lineage. I come from a family of entrepreneurs. But these are stories that are being told down and down and down. But what's happening now is we're not telling the stories no more. Yeah. Corporations are telling the stories.
Mm.
And they have a bottom line.
Mm.
And you know, what did Malcolm X say? And I might be misquoting him because I've never been able to find this quote online. And I don't know where I read it, but it was like Malcolm X said, if America is suffering from The a flu. Cold, the cold. Black America has
flu. The flu.
Right. Or is it leukemia, did he say?
No, I thought it was the flu.
Oh, the flu. Yeah. Okay, so, you know,
leukemia.
I always take shit back to another I'm level.
Speaking of social media.
But we fall prey to it more than anyone because we're the ones who've been boxed out. You ever get lost in South Central?
Hell no.
I know the area real good.
I've got lost in South Central and can't get out because I can't get around the barriers.
Oh.
We've been boxed in and we've lit segregation in schooling still happens.
Mm.
Okay? You can go to schools in Florida where they will advise you to take your black child to another school, even though you live within the jurisdiction of that school.
Oh, wow.
And I'm going to just, you know, I don't want to put anybody's business out there. I'm going to just say this. An aunt of mine, you know, I don't know if you know this, but my family is. My dad's side of the family is black Venezuelan and East Indian, right?
Your dad's side?
My dad's side.
Okay.
And then my mom's side of the family is like legitimate East African, Central African. Like, you know, 62% of my blood is combined with East and Central African. Like, so I just want to be clear. So the Indian side of my family bought a house in Florida because they wanted a relative to go to a better school.
Okay.
When they did that, they told him that he couldn't go. They told it, and they wanted him to go to a school that was more full of minorities. And in so many words, it was basically, this is a white school. We think your son would be more comfortable over here.
Mm.
And she said, I want to be clear on what you're telling me because I want you to know I'm going to the mayor and then I'm going above his head if he doesn't, you know. And what she ended up doing was she ended up going to the mayor and she said, listen, I want you to go through my taxes and all of my property taxes. I want them to be deducted. I'm not paying any property tax in this community because my property taxes go towards funding that school that my son is now not being allowed to go to.
Mm.
So, you know, he ended up going to the school because it became a public thing.
Absolutely.
So he ends up going to the school. He graduated number one in the state.
Oh, damn.
Of course he did.
And then they wanted to put him in all these magazines and all stuff. And she told him that if you use my son's likeness in any way to promote your school, you'll find yourself in a lawsuit.
Mm.
And this is a woman you can't mess with, you know. And now, mind you, like, you know, like my family, she's East Indian. Her son, who was married to a black man and had, you know, I'm not saying no names or nothing. And
right,
so,
right.
You know, East Indian and black is a darker complected brother. And this is what he had to endure. And that was not too long ago.
Right.
So, like I said, it's been pulled away from us. But that's fine. Because now you have online education. You can access education online and you can access credible education online. So we need brothers like you and brothers like me and people that we know to go together and we can now curate. We can pull together pieces of information that we think are valid and create a curriculum.
Absolutely.
Just in viewing for kids, just in viewing for teens, just in viewing for young blacks so that we get a better understanding of how the business works. We are a naive culture that has been heavily indoctrinated by white America.
Yeah.
For the advancement of the establishment.
Now, you were talking about social media earlier.
Yeah.
Didn't something happen with your Facebook? Didn't they take some of your posts down off Facebook? What happened?
No. What happened was I created a video called The Racket of Racism.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
The Racket of Racism is a video that I made. It's like about, on for Facebook right now, it's at about 4.5 million views or something like that. So I make this video breaking down how slavery has sustained, how slavery turned into the convict lease system of 1865, and then how that turned into free prison labor, free labor prisons that we know today. And, you know, it wasn't an emotional thing. I just recounting facts and showing you how each administration played its part, you know, from governors to presidents and everything else. And I really had made a little private thing, a password protected thing. And like I always do with people who follow me and that are on my mailing list, I say, yo, take a look at this video.
Mm.
Give me some insight. Tell me some things that you think that should be included in this. And then I'll do a revamp of it and then I'll release it publicly. So I did that. Everybody took a look at it. Everybody gave me their opinion. And then a guy came to me and he said, yo, man, about a few weeks later, I missed the link to that. Where was it? I gave it to him. He ripped it and stole it and put it up on Facebook. So I went to each person directly and said, yo, could you take this down? It's not ready to be launched yet. There's some adjustments that are being made because I want this to be undeniable. I don't want this floating out there where people can have a rebuttal.
Right, right, right.
And so they complied. People took it down.
Okay.
They were like, got your back, homie. Let me know when it's released again. Okay. And so everybody's like, oh, Facebook took your shit down. Yo, it's a conspiracy. And in this weird way, it was great because it made the video heavily anticipated.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
But no, it wasn't a conspiracy. It was me going to individual requesting that it be taken down so that I could add things like the John Ehrlichman quote. You know,
okay.
Who John Ehrlichman was an advisor to Nixon. I wanted to add stuff like that so that when people looked at the video, they could do nothing but go up. Well, all right. Okay. Well, you got a point.
So the video is still up.
Oh, the video was up and it's at like 4.5 million views. If you go on Facebook right now and look up Racket of Racism, it's the first thing you see.
Okay. I'm going to check that out.
Yeah. I went on your blog and I saw all that.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah.
Now, I saw an interview with you one time. You were talking about nutrition and you were getting real deep about nutrition, man.
Another way that we fall for the fucking okie doke. Excuse my language. Damn, what's wrong with me? Let me check this shit and make sure I'm not getting cussed out on Twitter right now. I probably am. This nigga, Uncle Tom ass nigga.
No, they shouldn't be clowning you.
Why
would they be clowning you, Rob?
You're speaking truth.
You're talking truth to power, man. You know? Yeah. But you were doing an interview, and you were talking about nutrition. And, I mean, you were getting deep. And I'm trying to be on my nutrition kick right now. I'm trying to.
I forgot your cookies in the car.
Yeah, I know. I'm trying to. I'm not eating any sweets for like a month.
Because
I'm
addicted.
Yeah, a month. At least a month. You know, I might fuck up some pie around Thanksgiving. Yeah. I'm eating a fucking pie around Thanksgiving. I'm sorry, but...
But Tariq.
Yes.
A whole month.
You
gotta do more than that.
I'm saying I can do, but in Thanksgiving, I'm
even
eating
on Thanksgiving.
No, I'm eating a damn sweet potato pie. A whole one.
You gonna eat a whole just cutting out damn sweet.
But sweets, just sweets. No sweets. You know, even after Thanksgiving, you know, I go back to my non-sweet thing.
You're gonna eat a whole damn pie by yourself?
Not by myself.
I was gonna say, you ain't gonna share.
I'm gonna share it with the family.
I'll say, you real greedy then. Yeah.
But I'm gonna do that. So Ron, what got you into nutrition and all that stuff, brother?
You know, a few things. I had an issue where, I was dating a girl who turned me on to a place called the Optimum Health Institute in San Diego. It's a place that you go to, you do like raw, it was like back in 1994, 95, 96, somewhere in there, and you just basically do raw food. You eat raw food, yeah. you do wheatgrass, and you drink this thing called Rejuvelac, which is made from like fermented quinoa, and while you're doing that cleanse and detox, you're there, and you get... you get the opportunity to learn about how the body works, how the pancreas reacts to sugar, how the cells react to an insulin spike, how the liver reacts to certain toxins that we take into our body. And I was fascinated.
Mm.
But what was also crazy is while I was there, a parasite about a foot and a half long came out of me.
Really?
Yeah. And
where did it come out?
Oh my God.
It crawled out of my ear while I was sleeping. No, I'm kidding. No, I shit it out, bro. I shit
damn.
It out with everything else.
Oh, and my
body had gotten so... My body had gotten so alkaline that, you know, it couldn't live in me.
Mm.
And so up until that point, you know, I was Snickers. I thought that...
But isn't that good? Having a high alkaline diet, isn't that good for you?
That's the most important thing you can do
for
yourself.
To be cancer-free, right?
It's a great way to be cancer. Like, disease can't live in an alkaline body.
Right.
You know?
So what's the best way to get the body alkaline?
The best way to get the body alkaline that I know of, and I'm not an expert at it, but from what I've been going there every year ever since, and it starts with a few things. It's one... understanding the importance of being able to identify what is sugar.
Because a lot of things are converted to sugar.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
Absolutely. Sometimes you can eat bread and be better off eating a candy bar. You know
damn.
What I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So it's understanding bread, rice, pasta, all of those things are sugar.
Mm.
They convert to sugar immediately once you masticate them. And then, you know, unfortunately, you eat emotionally. You're basically eating yourself into a grave.
Damn.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
tell
so sweet juices. People go, oh, but it's fruit, so it's natural. And I'm like, hey, this is all the cells know is they ain't trying to mess with that insulin. So the body doesn't really go, oh, this is natural fruit, so we won't have an insulin spike. No, insulin spike, you get insulin spike with mashed potatoes.
Damn.
So anyway.
So like sweet apple juice and all that shit is.
Oh, yeah. You know, like, I don't even know why anybody would drink that. God made fruit with fiber for a reason.
Mm.
You know, In fact, when every fruit that I look at, it's the most fruits that I look at, it's the other way around. It's actually more fiber than juice. Why would you flip? Why, if you got to break it down to eat it, you probably shouldn't.
Oh damn! Well, what about smoothies? Do you drink smoothies and all that shit?
I don't do that shit.
What?
Comfort. What do you eat then?
What the fuck do you eat, nigga?
What you eat for breakfast and dinner?
I wake up and eat a tree bark.
Right.
I eat a. What do I eat?
What'd you eat today?
Yes.
I eat everything.
Today you ate everything?
Today I had like a vegetable saute.
Okay.
With a little bit of rice. And I would say that of my meal, rice made up 25%.
Was it brown rice?
I was going to say, what kind of rice?
No, it was the rice that they served next door. I ate next door. There's like a Thai place right around the corner.
Oh, damn.
And so I had like a vegetable medley. I don't really eat.
Do you eat meat, or do you do the flexitarian thing?
The flexitarian thing, what's that?
Well, you eat meat maybe 2 or 3 times a week.
Close. Like, I don't know why, maybe from living, since I've been living in Puerto Rico, I haven't had the desire to eat meat at all.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
I think it might be the warm weather. It might be because I was cooking it for my dog and it just looks so disgusting. I don't know what it is, just turned me off from it, but I eat seafood.
What kind of meat? Was it chicken, beef?
Beef and chicken. And I just was like, yeah, I can't.
How long you been living in Puerto Rico?
Almost. I'm going on 2 years.
Really? What made you say, fuck it, I'm going to Puerto Rico, out of all the places?
Well, I grew up off and on in Trinidad and Tobago, you know, and my family's Caribbean, and I just liked the Caribbean lifestyle. And, you know, there's a lot of different reasons, honestly. Some personal. But I like the idea of being in an environment where people don't assume that I'm a violent criminal because of the color of my skin, or assume that I am, you know, less than, like, I don't like that people are surprised when I talk. Like, oh, you're very articulate. I remember one time, let me shut up.
Speak truth to power, yeah, brother.
You know, I mean, I don't know why I just find that shit condescending. So it's like, well, fuck, if you think I'm articulate, my Haitian nigga Jerry is about to like blow your fucking mind. You might vote for this nigga for president. You know, it's like black people. I don't like these assumptions.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I don't like being in a society where black is so heavily criminalized.
Right.
You know, and so living in the Caribbean, it's such the opposite. There's so much black love. I've had people who are white. In Puerto Rico, stop their car in the middle of the street, be like, oh my God, my nigga, I gotta take a picture with you, dog. And hey, nigga, don't let them take it from you, nigga. Stay black, nigga. We Africans, nigga. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I love that Africans are so celebrated in that way. It's like they are in tune with the African roots. They're in tune with the Taino roots. They're in tune with their Spaniard roots, the Arabic roots. It's like, and I like that. You know what I'm saying? And also, it's like the other part of it is that okay, I'm sorry, but you know, the other part of it is that you
are you getting emotional?
No, I'm just I'm trying to be careful about what I say here, but you know,
speak truth to power, brother.
Yeah, man, you don't know what else you have if you haven't seen it.
Yeah,
and I'm
someone who was fortunate to go back and forth all my life, and so it helped me to look at America from the outside in rather than from the inside out. The United States of America is a great place to make money, but as far as the quality of life goes,
it's shitty.
It's not for me, you know? You know, man, like, and, you know, we don't know it. It's big. USA is big, but it's very insulated.
Yeah.
And if you go to anywhere else in the world, not anywhere else, but places that I've been at least, you know, I had a house in Brazil, on the northeast coast of Brazil. I spent a lot of time in Paris. I lived there for a little bit. I lived in
How do you like it in Paris?
I was just gonna ask that.
You know, they're a unique culture, and the truth of the matter is, I freaking loved it. And even though there was racism, and you know, they really, you know, like, they really had some freaking race issues over there. But the thing that was cool was you could find your clique. You get what I'm saying? And you could find people of color who got it. You could find, and for me, I'm not a dude. I don't go, oh, he's black, so I'm hanging out with him. No. What I do is I go, oh, he's intelligent. She's intelligent. You know what I mean? Those are the things that make me, oh, she's worldly. Like she, I can learn from this person. I'm hanging out with them. And you just happen to find a lot of people of color like that when you were over there. You know what I'm saying? And so it was like, that was exciting.
Yeah, Paris was cool. I went to Paris. I was out there for like a week, and I was in Saint-Tropez.
Yeah.
And they party their asses off. That's one thing I noticed. You have like motherfuckers who's 18 and 87 in the same club getting in doing cocaine. They're like, yeah, you went to cocaine. I'm like, no, motherfucker.
She's right.
Your ass have a stroke. Right. Fucking around. Yeah.
So. I can't remember the spot we would go to. We would purposely go to party with the elderly. Like, for real, you know.
The elderly out there gets it in.
They put on big hats and the like dresses that look like they should be on porcelain dolls and shit, and we go out there and party for real.
Yeah, them elderly motherfuckers in France get it all the way in.
So you guaranteed to hit when they old like that.
Oh my God.
And one day they talk about them nude beaches, but it'd be a bunch of old motherfuckers at the nude beaches. Yep. So I'm like, I'm cool.
You can hit at the beach too. No, I'm playing. I'm just being a fool. Remember.
You dig? No, but you did. I first saw you, Romney, in the Hidden Colors, not the Hidden Color. I'm talking about my movie set. I'm talking about the MC Hammer. The MC Hammer thing on VH1. That's the first time I saw you. Excellent role, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
He played MC Hammer. You didn't know that?
No.
Oh, this brother played Hammer.
No. That's amazing.
Your brother played Hammer. I mean, killed it.
Oh, my God. I feel bad now, Tariq.
You didn't know that?
The first time I saw him was 40 Year Old Virgin.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of folks know him from that first. Did you do 40 Year Old Virgin first or the Hammer first? The Hammer thing first.
Hammer was in like 2000 and... Four, wasn't it?
Oh, my God.
When was the 40-year-old version? Wasn't that the same
year? I was in high school.
7-8.
Really?
Yeah.
I was in high school by then. That's why.
Okay.
I'm like, 2004. I think I was like still in middle school.
But my man,
were
you always
sitting there looking at her like, damn, she hot. Like, oh, shit. You could be my daughter. My bad.
Now, were you always a good dancer? Or did you learn how to dance for the movie? Because you were dancing your goddamn ass off.
No, we used to dance our asses off. Yeah. I always dance. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's like it's part of being in the
island.
I grew up in the breaking era. We used to pop and, you know, and all that stuff. We battle rap and all this other shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it was, you know. So that was innate. And so it's part of the reason that I got the job, because when we were on the gig, they said, yo, can you dance? I was like, oh, God, we're going to put on some music. We got to get it on camera for the audition.
Yeah.
So I happened to be the first person to audition for that role. And
Damn. You got it.
Yeah. And I had to go, bam, bam. I stuck a few moves, because we really used to try to dance like Hammer back in the day. And
hell yeah.
Hammer had a lot of
you
old
too, Tariq?
Moves.
Yeah. I used to love Hammer, man.
You used to try and dance like Hammer?
Nigga, I had the baggy fucking pants and everything.
I can't imagine.
I had that. Yeah, oh, we
used to, I cannot. Yeah. I can't imagine you too.
Back in the day, dancing was a cool thing to
it
do.
It was.
Before,
was.
Before the gangster era.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, it's cool. It's cool now, but it like...
No, I think it's like dry humping now. I think everyone's like on each other real close.
Well, like the Caribbean influence has just bled over.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
sure.
We don't make eye contact when we dance. It's always from behind.
Yeah.
You know.
Now, when you were doing the movie, did you consult with Hammer? Did you talk?
Always.
Always.
It was trip, man. He has really high standards, because I remember like me and the dance crew, like 50 dancers behind me, and we had a moment where we knew we were sticking it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if this felt like we were suspended in air at the same time, we would hit the ground at the same time. It felt right. And at the end of it, the director even was even like, cut! And we was on stage high-fiving, and we could see Hammer coming. We were in an auditorium. We could see him coming down the aisle, walking off fast. And everybody came to the front of the stage to hear what he had to say. He got to the front of the stage, and he was like, I want y'all to let go this time. Don't be scared.
Damn.
I want y'all to really, really... You can't think. You just got to feel it, all right? And he walked away and we was like, this
like,
man.
Damn. I thought we were doing good.
Like, we're just spilling our soul in the dance moves.
I'm like, hey, can we get Hammer removed from this building, please? You know
that? Man.
Yeah, he's got really high standards, man. It kind of, like, you know, no matter how you slice it, he's gifted.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah.
That brother's bad, man. 40-year-old virgin, man. That was
a huge
mega hit, man. You were hilarious in that.
I always look at 40 Year Old Virgin. Yo, that was a great breakthrough for brothers. You
know
what I mean? Because it was the first time that I had actually watched the film in a long time where not a comedian, but an actual actor was put into a movie and he was allowed to speak as himself. So it wasn't about he's the black guy. Because the minute you establish, the black guy, he's the black guy in the movie, then you suddenly have to fill in certain stereotypes.
Exactly.
Right? I can see that. That never happened in 40-Year-Old Virgin.
I noticed that because usually they have the black guy saying goofy shit.
Right, exactly.
You know, he's being the go-to
the
goofy guy. He's
token.
Being the token. And you weren't the token. You were like,
yeah.
The joke was on the other guys
right.
for the most part,
exactly.
And which is rare.
Yeah, and that's what Judd was like. He's like, just say whatever. We did about 9 hours of improv-ing before I even got the job.
Oh, wow.
Oh, wow.
And he just put a lot of it in the script.
Mm.
Yeah. Because, you know, back in them days, I was really hanging with dudes. And that's really how we got down. So
yes, indeed.
It was like, it wasn't acting for me. It was like, so in fact, so much that when the movie was released, before it was released, I was begging Jeff to cut me out of it because I was so embarrassed.
Oh, really? Why? Why were you embarrassed?
Because it was me.
Oh, you didn't? There's too much of yourself in there.
Yeah, and by the time that movie was cut and ready to go, I had matured a lot.
Mm.
And I was like, I mean, maybe even through the movie, I had kind of even got it out of my system. So I was like, yo, my mom's an ordained minister. Can we do something about that right quick? Is there any way that we can, Judd, please?
Mm.
You know, but anyway, so, my mom liked it. She went to see it 3 times with her Christian friends.
Oh,
they
wow,
loved it
wow,
too.
Wow.
What about Weeds? Did she like that too?
She, you know, my mom didn't follow Weeds as much, but all her friends would always tell her about it.
Weeds was awesome.
Weeds,
I have all of the DVDs. Yeah.
The word?
Yes.
The word.
Thank you. Yeah, that was
Weeds
nice.
Weeds was that show.
Yep. I think I only did Weeds up until season 3. And then I came back for the final, but I only did it up to season 3.
Did you get some weed?
No, I didn't get any weed.
Oh.
I get weed all the time because of weed. People always give me weed because of weed. People always give me weed.
You just assume like he wants it,
so
they give
weed?
It.
Yeah, if you go on the FAQ of my website, I'm like, yo, stop. Yeah.
I did. I saw that. Yeah. You were like, I didn't have any weed.
Yeah.
No.
I was like, don't fucking give me no damn weed. Stop mailing it to me. Stop sticking it in. I'll take my friggin' hoodie off because I'm on a fishing boat, and I put it back on, walk off the boat. Check my, put my hand in my pocket, bag of weed in it. You know,
what?
It never
damn.
Fails.
Damn.
Right.
Damn.
And people where like, yo, are you going?
Or they'll be like, you know, everybody. It's like I'm Conrad.
Oh yeah.
They want everybody wants me to try
yeah.
their shit.
Yeah.
But I don't really smoke weed. You know.
What? Word.
Wait,
yeah.
really?
Me neither. I don't smoke
weed.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of how I got fired from. What? Say wait. What are we talking about here?
I said really, or you don't do it.
I don't.
Like occasionally. Because you were saying it like you occasionally may do it,
no,
but you don't.
Like it's like we're talking about eating meat and all that stuff like
yes.
that. I don't consider myself a vegetarian or a pescatarian. I'm like, if the opportunity presents itself and I feel like something's clean enough and trustworthy, I'll do it. I'll try it. You know what I mean? I mean, it's what mm-hmm. it, you know, it's just I don't have the same.
I know you.
I don't smoke weed either, so
no,
I feel
I
it.
Yeah. You don't smoke weed?
No. Damn, I never smoked a joint in my life.
Yeah,
never.
These man.
Wow, Tariq, I'm really proud of you and
yeah.
shocked. You're
yeah,
really clean.
I am clean. And I eat.
Or,
I don't eat what I
eat.
Too
eat
many
cookies.
Goddamn sweets. I eat too many
I was
sweets.
I'm
going to
say, but your drug of choice is cookies.
Yeah, that's the thing. I make it up by cupcakes and shit.
Right. Yeah.
So, Romney, the new movie, Almost Christmas. Who are you playing? What's your role in Almost Christmas?
That's a good question. Almost Christmas, man, is a role where I get to play an aspiring politician. Well, I am a politician. I'm trying to run for office, you know, in my, you know, local. The local vote is what's going to determine whether or not I get to be.
Yes.
And so what ends up happening is I'm looking at this role and I'm like, oh, shit, this is me.
Mm.
And the reason is because my character is having this problem finding the balance between power and purpose.
Mm.
And I have the same struggle in my career where I turn down a lot of jobs, probably to my detriment, because I don't like the message that it's relaying or I don't like the way it's being depicted or... And so it's
was there a major role that came out in the movie that you turned down?
Yeah.
What was it?
I don't know.
You can say it, Romney.
No.
But there's a role that you said, hey, that blew up.
Yeah.
Let's say a role blew up with somebody else that was offered to you and you said no.
A role that blew up with somebody else, to my knowledge, that blew up.
Well, the movie
like
was
a
successful.
Really popular movie.
A popular movie.
Not to my knowledge. Not
okay.
to my knowledge, no.
Mm.
No. And maybe there's a good reason for why I be saying no to stuff. You know
okay.
what I mean? And like, again, man, it's like you have to exercise so much trust when you go in and play a role. You don't know how it's going to be cut together. You don't know how it's going to be. You got to be careful.
Now, what would make you say, hey, I wouldn't do that? What would make you say I wouldn't do?
Like I said, the quality of people involved in the project. Can I trust them?
Oh, okay.
Do they have a track record of pulling together projects without – you know, without the type of slant that is detrimental to the community? Are they depicting a role that is actually fresh and informative, or are they depicting a role that's, you know, look, if it seems like the okie doke on the surface and you read into it and it's some deep shit, I'm for that. But if it's just some straight up, you know, status quo, just the only way the white man gonna give me money to make a movie, that's you. I'm not fucking with you.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so,
like the butler, some shit like that. Would you rock with some?
Oh my gosh.
I'm just saying. I'm just, butler. It's a question.
I'm just saying.
If somebody said, hey, Romney, we're doing the butler part two.
You know what? I actually could think of a role that they asked me to play that's become a pretty popular show. And I was like, yo, if this dude ends up running for governor, if this dude ends up doing something other than this, I'm interested. But if this is the trajectory of this character's, story, I'm like, you know. So yeah, I mean, but I didn't see the butler.
How was it working with DC Young Fly and Carrie Hilson, which is my favorite?
Carrie Hilson.
I love her, by the way.
Me too.
I love Carrie Hilson so much. Real talk. I love Carrie.
She's so down to earth too. I haven't met her, but I follow her on Snapchat. She just seems like she's like your girl. Like,
yeah, Carrie
100.
I'm not gonna talk about Carrie because I have a girl. Okay.
No.
She's very
it's okay.
beautiful.
I got a girl too. My lady know how I feel about Carrie Hilson.
No, Carrie is a very unique. Of all the people I've been to Hollywood, she's a very unique. She has a very unique swag, and I will just say this: certainly one of my favorites. Like, in fact, her family, everything about Carrie Hilson, in my opinion, is 100. Because I love a human being. And a human being to me is someone who is compassionate, is someone who is open to new ideas, and someone who is searching. And she is all of those things. And she's talented too. And of course, yes, she's probably one of the most beautiful.
Yes.
Okay, I got some exclusive sounds from the trailer, backstage trailer at the movie with Romney. Hold on, I got some backstage, some sounds. Okay, that's somebody snuck some footage.
Me beating off in my trailer.
Of Romney and Carrie Hilson. They did him like Trump. You know how they had Trump? They had some secret footage of Trump backstage. So who's her love interest in the movie? For some reason, I thought you were her love interest in the movie.
I thought it was DC Young Fly.
Is it?
No, her love interest in the movie is actually...
it ain't Danny
I can't
Glover.
Tell you because then it's a big time spoiler.
Okay, there you go. There you go. I know it ain't Danny Glover.
It's mad funny.
Oh my God.
It's a friggin' highlight. It's so funny.
I gotta
see it. Shit is so funny.
I can't wait to see it.
I saw the movie
really
for the first time a few nights ago.
Yeah.
For the first time.
You were cracking up at yourself.
I laughed, not at myself because I play like a really straight guy, but I was laughing because, you know, I was laughing because there's another side to this where being entertained by something that you're in. In my head, things went a certain way in the scene.
Yeah.
I'm not on set for every scene. So I'm seeing it go a completely different way, and I'm in there bawling, but I'm bawling and missing 8 other jokes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'm going to go see it again when it comes out. But I want to say about DC Young Fly, shocking.
Representing.
Yeah.
Shocking.
Representing the city.
Dude is so shocking. Like, you know
he
how,
came
like.
A long way.
Yeah.
He has. Yeah. You know how those kids on social media, they kind of like over the top. They have to be broad, you know what I mean, in order to really keep the attention of the kids.
Right.
Man, he came in this movie, yo. He was so subtle and funny. Subtle. Not no, it's natural. He just natural. He's like, you know how much confidence it takes to do nothing on camera? That dude is ready. Trust me. He is ready, you know? And I've done probably 25, 30 interviews in which I've just mentioned him.
Wow.
Because I really go... Wow, I kind of see a lot of myself in him where he just has a natural appeal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And his ability to be so subtle and comfortable when the camera's rolling, it's like he understands. When the camera's on you, you're going to be on a friggin' 40 to 70 foot screen.
Yeah.
Take it back.
Exactly.
And he is skilled at that already. So, you know.
Yeah. I saw the backstage footage on Carrie's Snapchat of you guys on E, I believe.
Yeah.
You guys were cracking up together.
Oh, yeah. That's my dude, man. I mean, real talk. Like, everybody was very impressive, you know. But as far as, like, just unsuspecting talent, like, DC.
It's hot Monique, as hell.
Monique.
I love Monique.
Monique on the level of comedy. Monique showed up to set last and just elevated the whole game.
Monique is very underrated, man.
Extremely.
Yeah, yeah. I love Monique. So, and I got to get Carrie Hilson's Snapchat.
I got y'all like that
you
right
now. You didn't know how to work Snap.
I don't know how to work Snap, but I saw a Snapchat of Carrie Hilson deep throwing a popsicle.
That's old as a mug.
I know it's old, but shit. Okay. I got to learn how to work Snapchat.
I'm going
to
teach you after.
Thank you so much. Rhonda, you have a Snapchat or are you just on Twitter and Instagram or Facebook?
I got it all. Snapchat is Romney Malco.
Y'all need to follow Romney. Follow Romney on... What's your official Twitter? Because there's a few
Romney.
Twitters on you, brother.
Yeah. What I do is...
Oh, my gosh.
Am at... Team, well, I don't care about Twitter. Just go to there Romney. Just go to RomneyMalco.com.
RomneyMalco.com. Yes. And y'all get all of it.
Yeah, I saw
y'all get all of it. And when does Almost Christmas come out? Does it come out this Friday? It comes out on the 11th, right? Now, Rhonda, how the hell are you promoting a movie?
I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Hold on. I think it comes out on the 11th. Let me be sure. It comes out on the 11th. Romney. The publicist is going to be on your ass.
Sorry. Okay, so
yes,
what's going
November
on?
11th. Yes.
So the movie comes out November 11th. I am
now. What's the storyline of the movie? You don't have to tell the whole everything.
It's just basically about a family having to come together when they were used to having the matriarch of the family kind of run especially when she was the matriarch kind of brought the family together on for the holidays.
Yeah.
And just filled the house with love, and she just had these special recipes and just made the holiday something special.
Mm.
But unfortunately, she passes away.
Okay.
And so in her passing away, it's now kind of up to the family. It's up to the dad.
Okay.
And it's a new role for him.
Mm.
And it's a new role for us, too, because we all have to share the weight that mom once carried on her own.
Mm.
And we didn't even realize. We kind of took it for granted. And so it's a matter of us having this dysfunctional family having to come together under that pressure.
Okay, cool. Mm-hmm. Family, everybody, check out Almost Christmas this Friday at theaters all over the place. Make sure they give you the right goddamn ticket because they be switching them tickets just like they did with our brother Nate Parker for the Brother of a Nation. But get your tickets to go see Almost Christmas. My man Romney, it was a pleasure
having you
here, my brother.
Can we talk about one other thing?
One other thing. What is that, sir?
Yo, y'all want to see something funny? Funny, like you're going to laugh so hard that you probably shouldn't have kids in the room.
Mm.
Go to prisonlogic.com.
Oh, yeah.
I've been doing this crowdfunding campaign because I'm making this movie that's slated to start filming at the end of February. Prison Logic is basically an ex-convict turned motivational speaker. But basically, this character that I created, Tijuana Jackson, he's like my Trojan horse to the street. So on the surface, he just seems like some big fool, right? But when you start listening to what he's saying and the message that he's delivering, it's horrific.
It's funny, but it's deep.
He's so institutionalized that he can't speak from anything but the perspective of a man in prison.
Yeah.
But the game that he's dropping really is applicable.
Yeah, it's some deep stuff, man, because I've seen a whole bunch of them, man.
Thank you,
and it's
man.
Like crazy and over the top. But then at the very end, it's like some real shit. Like, oh, that's real talk
exactly.
right there.
And there are like hundreds of videos. Maybe 100 videos online of him breaking stuff down. It ended up in the New York Times. I did stuff for HBO with this character. It's just time to make a movie, but I don't want to go through, again, the alliances we were talking about. We got to be careful about. I don't want to make an alliance with anyone who's going to insist that I, dumb down the language or skew the message for the sake of, for the sake of reaching a broader audience.
Absolutely.
And so my goal is to, it's a great story. The reason I love this script so much is because it actually teaches a lesson that we need to apply ourselves, which is kind of how we started this conversation. So if you're interested in getting a good laugh, and while you're laughing, learning a little something, it's called prisonlogic.com.
What's the teeth thing? What made the Tijuana Jackson, what's with the big teeth?
Because I saw people like that. I grew up with people like that. And I was like, I was like, these dudes, I love it when a person is, it's got these, where you can't see your own physical flaws, mental flaws, psychological flaws, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so he's one of those dudes, it's like he sees himself, he sees a beautiful man in the mirror.
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? It's not like the teeth are over the top. Most people don't even know. They just look at me and they don't recognize me, but they don't go, oh, you got fake teeth in your mouth, that's funny. No, they just don't know. They actually walk around me. He's much more menacing with the teeth in, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you know, and he's giving this advice that, like, I grew up with a lot of that. That's what I, the one thing that I, my problem with Hollywood is that Hollywood tends to go, this is the bad guy and this is the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up with people who were both, you know, a little bit of everything. And so I wanted to depict characters like that. And this is the beginning of me doing that. Heavily flawed character with the best of intentions. And he ends up having to learn a major lesson from the beginning of the movie to the end of the movie. And that's what I'm hoping to teach, you know, and to share and to inspire people to do, is to create their own projects, find unique ways and alternate ways to monetize your projects.
Absolutely.
And also create the kinds of projects that that tell a story, that help, that empower us to some degree, you know. So anyway, I'm gonna be quiet now because I'm sure I've pissed off people. I've obviously pissed off. No. Don't crack. This is the wrong time to be cracking jokes about Hillary Clinton. I'm gonna just keep it 100.
Oh damn, people and, getting
and,
in on you.
Oh my God. I just cracked a couple jokes, and it's even worse because tonight I have the Def Jam, Def Jam All Digital Comedy Roast of America.
Oh damn!
And the shit I say about Trump and Hillary there, I might need to get security.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. My man Ronnie, man, thank you so much for coming in, brother.
Thank
man,
thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Next time you have another movie, man, definitely come on through, man. The door is always open for you, brother.
Thank you. Thank
All right, y'all. Yo, it's Ism Radio. Bye. We'll be right back after these messages, right here on Ism Radio, family.
People all butt hurt because they can't.